Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
And good afternoon, everyone. We are in Madison on this bright and sunny December day. My name is Jim Santel, a frequent guest, delighted to be with you again this afternoon while Mike is away on some holiday excursions around the world. I'm joined in the studio today again with Brian, who is going to be staying with me the afternoon for the next couple of hours, talking about a number of issues that are on the minds of everybody in America today. But beyond that, some broader thoughts about where we're going along the way, very much encouraging your questions, your comments, your thoughts, your perspectives. Call in 844-967-2789. Brian is here with me, is going to screen those calls, get them to me, and we'll get you on the air to talk about some of the issues today.
I see some of you guys holding from the previous show. I will keep you there if you want to, and we'll make sure that we'll get you on.
We will do just that. Brian, thanks so much for your support, and looking forward to a couple of good hours of conversation and thoughtful engagement with the audience and with others out there who may be watching online. Today, like we have discussed in other circumstances, other shows down the road in the past, we're going to talk about two fundamental issues. We're going to talk about consequences. I'm going to talk about deterrence, two things that we've chatted about on a regular basis here on Devil's Advocate. And specifically, we're going to invoke a number of different issues historically and then more recently to discuss the importance of consequences in American life today and the notion of deterrence. So where does this come from? Well, Brian's already rolling his eyes because I brought in this afternoon books. There's a small library here with me.
I'm excited for it. It's a wonderful change to have someone prepared for a show.
Brian is already envious of the book stack here, and I suspect he's going to be stealing some of those from me throughout the afternoon. We've got things like the Constitution of the United States of America, the Federalist Papers, and yes, indeed, what would any discussion with me, Brian, be like without talking about, yes, that's right, the Mueller Report, right? April 18th of 2019.
How many days is that?
I didn't even calculate it. That's how far it's been.
Wow, we've gone into the infinity mode?
We've gone into the infinity mode, and may well be that in coming up in the next year, we may even have to abandon our counting, believe it or not. We're going to look forward to some math down the road, but unfortunately not today. So I go back to that. I think about the day that the Mueller report was issued. And again, this is backing into this concept about deterrence and consequences, which we're going to chat about this afternoon. Again, inviting your calls about that as well. I think about the day, Brian, that you and others invited me into your Brady Street studio at that time. Dom was on the air, Mike was around, you were there, and we were chatting about the significance, the substance of the Mueller report, and going through it for the first time. It had just been released hours earlier, and parsing through the documents, trying to figure out what it said, we recall very much the notion that in the hours before that, in the couple of weeks before that particular report was issued, the Attorney General at that time, Bill Barr, had issued this letter, a four-page letter saying, you know what, not a whole lot to see here as to Russian interference, nothing to support anything even approaching a conspiracy. And second, and the reason I'm bringing it up again today, Brian, is that the second portion of the Attorney General's statement to America that morning and previously a couple of weeks before that was that he was also saying that there was no obstruction of justice. Nothing about this report would indicate that there was anything to suggest that the former president now had engage in obstruction of justice. And so one of the things that I hearken back to is a different course of action. Had we in fact taken a closer look at what the Mueller report was all about, had America understood that report better, how could the course of history have been different? And before I get back to that particular concept by way of teaser, let's talk about deterrence very, very generally. When we chat about criminal prosecutions, as Brian and Luke did just this past hour or so, we think about the reasons for criminal prosecution. And I always say that criminal prosecution is a human tragedy, right? There's nothing happy about it, nothing to celebrate about it. Often ends up in the incarceration of people, which Brian and Luke were also discussing in the past hour. But the fact of the matter is that deterrence by virtue of criminal prosecution, has two principal components. We engage in criminal prosecution. Sometimes we sentence people to jail, to prison, because we want to stop their behavior in particular. And then we also want to send messages to the larger audience out there that, in fact, this kind of conduct is not the kind of thing that we can endorse and support in any way. And so I recall, again, second invocation of things in the past, on a regular basis, in March or April of virtually every year, the IRS, through U.S. Attorney's offices around the country, issues through grand jury indictments, charges against individuals who engaged in tax fraud. And why do they do that? Well, again, they do that for two principal reasons, for deterrence as to those particular people. And you may recall there's folks like everybody from Wesley Snipes to Martha Stewart, Spiro Agnew got in trouble for tax violations, Willie Nelson, others out there who are indicted and charged for particular instances of tax offenses. And again, the reason you do that is because they themselves have to be stopped, right? But there's a broader reason for doing it. There's a broader reason for engaging those kinds of cases. And that is you want to let the world know that, hey, if you don't file your taxes come April, you might suffer the same consequences. And that's general deterrence. That's the reason why, in many ways, that the prosecution is pursued, not because we can address every single piece of offense conduct out there, but because you want to send the messages to the world that this kind of conduct will not be tolerated, and there might be consequences for it. So that's the premise for what we're chatting about today. If you don't deter the conduct initially, it happens down the road again and again and again. The general population doesn't understand that, in fact, you engage that conduct, you might get into some trouble. And so how do I tie that together with the Mueller report? Well, what happened? What happened to the Mueller report? We know very well that when it was issued in April 18th of 2019, almost coming up now on 3 years ago, we know well that, frankly, not a whole lot happened because of a memorandum inside the Department of Justice at the time, still exists today, against indicting a sitting president. Bob Mueller wrote in his very eloquent and lengthy document that he did not have the prerogative, did not have the capacity, the authority to indict a sitting president. And so what did he do? He sent this off to Nancy Pelosi, right? And he sent this off to Nancy Pelosi, plainly with the implicit, if not the explicit, thought that maybe the Congress can do something about that. As I said before, my exposition of deterrence and consequences, what happened, of course, came in the wake of what Bill Barr, then the Attorney General, was doing at the time. And Bill Barr was plainly indicating, again, nothing to see here, nothing to prosecute, nothing to handle here at all. But
I'm not certain I agree with your characterizations.
And that, of course, was the former FBI director who did, in fact, issue that report, Bob Mueller, appearing in front of the Congress to talk about these findings in his report. We know
that is correct.
We know today that in the wake of Bill Barr's statements about what the report did and did not say, and especially in the wake of what Nancy Pelosi and other leaders in Congress said at the time, namely that the American people were not prepared, not ready at the time to impeach a sitting president, that then and to this day nothing happened. And it is my proposition, soliciting your comments, your thoughts about this, both historically, and then we're going to talk about some other things more recently, that kind of failure to do anything in the midst of criminal conduct, behavior of this sort, prompts more of it. And what does history tell us about what happened after that report was issued? Well, we know that Donald Trump was waiting, if you will, to see if something would happen. All of us were looking into Department of Justice, wondering if something would happen there, if something would happen on Capitol Hill. And the reality is that nothing happened at all with respect to the Mueller report. And to this day, those specific 6 to 8, maybe 10 instances of obstruction of justice that are set forth in that compelling report, nothing has happened with respect to those particular charges, those particular allegations of obstruction of justice. And as we've talked before with Brian and with Mike and Dom and others, those are the kinds of things that if you and I were to engage in those particular kinds of conduct, we would be found not only guilty, we'd be charged by a grand jury, found guilty, and probably sentenced to some time in jail. It is my proposition today, again, the first one of several this afternoon, taking your comments and questions about this, that because as a nation, as a country, as a government, we did not do anything with that. We basically encouraged, we didn't deter that kind of conduct. We basically encouraged more of it. And when Donald Trump looked down Pennsylvania Avenue and saw that there was nothing else happening with respect to that report, what happened after that? Well, we know what happened after that. There was more of obstruction of justice, more dangling of the possibility of pardons and criticism of people who are testifying before Congress, the same kinds of things that Bob Mueller wrote about in his report. And what do we have in the wake of the Mueller report? We know well. We had two more pieces of conduct that were the subject of impeachments, one of them with respect to Ukraine and this request for a favor to the Ukrainian leadership there, looking for dirt on Donald Trump's political opponent, namely Joe Biden. And we also know that the January 6th happened, again, impeached for that conduct as well. And I'm not indicating this afternoon that all of that has a direct line from the Mueller report, but the reality is that there's a connection between that kind of thing and the inability, the incapacity, the decision not to do something about it that prompts more of the similar type of conduct. That's the concept of deterrence, consequences. We're going to talk more about that with some specific reports right after the break. Again, taking your questions, your comments, 844-967-2789. We'll follow up right after this break.